Do you have trouble praying honestly and openly to God? As a child of divorce, you need to learn that you have permission to pray any way that you want so that you can heal in your relationship with God and get closer to Him. That is our topic on today's episode of Heart in a Drawer, the podcast for adult children of divorce. I'm so glad that you've joined me for this episode. I am your host, Sarah Gehringer, and I love to help adult children of divorce heal from their past and find hope for their futures. So if it's your first time joining me, welcome. I'm so glad that you're here. If you've been here before, I'm so glad that you've decided to come back. And before we start today, I want to tell you a couple of things. First of all, I have a free printable with every episode that I produce, so make sure you go to the show notes and check that out. Also, you can send me prayer requests on that same page, and consider becoming a monthly donor, because then you can get special rewards. So let's get started on today's episode. It's actually based on a prayer poem that I recently wrote that people have really responded to well, and so I thought that it might be a nice way to start this episode. I've never read one of my poems before, but it's pretty short, and I hope that you enjoy it. It's kind of a prayer in itself, and then I'm going to break it down for you once we're finished. So it's called Permission to Pray. Father God, you are so gracious to give me permission to pray in any way necessary. Through the veil torn from top to bottom, you forever opened that door to the holy place through Jesus' sacrifice, and I am ever grateful. Like Abraham, asking again and again for people to be spared, I can petition you over and over. Like Moses, I can boldly ask you to show me your glory. Like Hannah, I can cry out to you for my deepest desires to be filled. Like David, I can praise your name, call for vengeance, and pour out my heart all in the same prayer. Like Gideon, I can ask for confirmation of your will when my faith wavers. Like Job, I can lament my woes and even curse the day I was born in my crushing grief, yet still affirm you as my Redeemer. Like Paul, I can fervently pray peace and favor on my brothers and sisters in Christ. O Lord, teach me to pray more like these saints, with strong faith, passionate fervor, wild emotion, unbridled honesty, and evergreen hope. So if you want to read that entire poem, I will put the link in the show notes for you, but I just want to break this down because there's a lot of Bible references in here. So I talk about the veil being torn from top to bottom. That happened the day Jesus died. There was a thick curtain in the holy place inside the temple. And this goes back to the Old Testament when they had a Holy of Holies. That was where God met with the priest once a year when the priest came in and made the atonement sacrifice for all the people. So when Jesus died, God miraculously tore that curtain from top to bottom because he was saying, I tore it from heaven down to you so that it's open from now forever. And the tearing was a symbol of Jesus dying, his body breaking for us. And he was the one who opened that door of free communication between us and God. We don't need a mediator. We don't need a priest to do it for us anymore. We can go boldly to the throne of grace. That's what Hebrews tells us. And in all of these Bible references, go to the show notes and I will give all those references out if you want to do further study yourself. But I always like that image because it reminds me that there's really nothing too scary, nothing too bold, nothing too daring for me to ask because I have that direct communication line straight to God when I pray to Him. And so do you. And then it says, like Abraham asking again and again. So Abraham, before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, he was asking God to spare the cities if he could find so and so many people that were righteous in them. And it kept dwindling down until it was basically his nephew Lot and his family that was the only people who were spared. So not getting into a larger discussion about those cities, but the point that we can petition God as much as we want. Jesus tells us that we need to keep asking, seeking, and knocking. And another part of the Bible tells us that we don't have because we don't ask. So He wants us to ask for help and assistance in the problems that we face. The Bible tells us that. So petitioning God is just fine with Him. And then it says, like Moses, we can ask God to show His glory. So Moses had this very close relationship with God. And after all this talk and time with Him, he asked God to show him His glory. And God didn't totally answer that prayer, probably the way Moses expected. But he said, basically, you know, I can't show my whole self to you because you wouldn't survive, because God is totally holy and He's transcendent. And we, our human bodies, are not capable of taking in that glory. But he did it in such a way that I'd like you to go to the original text and I'll link and kind of discover that story. It's a beautiful, mysterious story, and it just fills me with wonder. And it, you know, when I ask God to show me His glory, usually He does it in other ways. And it's kind of a cool prayer to pray. And then it says, like Hannah, we can cry out with our deepest desires to be filled. Hannah was infertile, and she was married to a man who had two wives. The other wife was fertile, and she taunted Hannah. So Hannah had a lot of heartache and discouragement, but she wanted a baby, and she promised God that if He gave her a baby, she would give him back to the Lord. And that's exactly what happened. She became the mother of Samuel, one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament, a very prominent figure. And so Hannah obeyed and she heard her prayers. But before she knew those prayers were going to be answered, she poured out her prayers desperately to God. And I love her honesty in her prayer because it inspires me to just be totally honest with God. Okay, so David wrote many of the Psalms, and he really shows the whole range of his emotions in those Psalms. Some of them are about lament. Some of them are called imprecatory Psalms, about bringing vengeance on enemies. And other ones are just really like love songs to God. So I will just share maybe three of those, like different examples, in the show notes so you can go to those different kinds of Psalms and hear David's voice in there. And the Psalms inspires my prayers more than any other book of the Bible. It is just really, really shaped the way that I talk to God, and it's a comfort for me to read the Psalms every day, and I hope that it is for you as well. And then it says, like Gideon, we can ask for confirmation. Gideon had a problem with being timid. He was afraid, and God asked him to do something really important and really hard. And so Gideon asked for a sign. And I don't think that's something we should do all the time, but you know, it was a test for Gideon, these tests that God was putting him through. And so Gideon asked for confirmation. And right now I'm having some decision making and I'm asking God to give me confirmations of yes or no. And so I think that's what we can also do in prayer. And then like Job, we can lament and even say things like we curse the day we were born, because God welcomes our grief. He wants us to be fully committed to Him and just let everything out in front of Him. And the book of Job is probably the very best one in the Bible about just pouring out your heart before God and letting it all the grief, all the sorrow, all the pain, pour out before Him in your own words, and just making sure that you're dumping that out before God. And then if you go to the end of the book of Job, you'll see how God answers in ways that Job probably never imagined. And it humbled Job, and it just changed everything. So I'll leave a few links in the comments so you can kind of skim through that book. And then it says, like Paul, we can fervently pray for other people in love. And Paul was amazing at this when he started so many churches, and he continued to pray for those people. So what can we take from this as adult children of divorce? I'm going to go back through, okay? We're just going back through this one more time. So we have that permission to pray, to approach the throne of grace boldly, because Jesus died on our behalf. We can go to God anytime we want, because He's always there and the door is always open. We can petition Him over and over for what we need. It's never going to wear Him out. Also, we can ask to feel Him, to feel His presence, to see His glory in our lives, to become close with Him, especially if our own family relationships aren't close. We can become close with God. We can pour out for our deepest desires to be filled, like Hannah did. So I know you've got some aches in your heart. I know there are things you want that you don't have, and you can give those to God like she did. And also, David, he just expressed the range of his emotions, the full range of them in the Psalms, and that's what we need to share with God too. We need to be praising Him and thanking Him and holding Him in wonder, but also just showing our anger and our frustration and our sadness and our desires, just like he did. Just put every emotion that you have before God. That's what He wants from you, and He welcomes it. And we can also ask for signs when we are moving forward in decisions, and we can lament before God like Job did, but still affirm God as our Redeemer from our situation. And we can also regularly pray for the people we care about, just like Paul did. Pray for them to grow in their faith, for all those relationships to be healed and made new with God's help. So in the printable for today, I would like to give you like a model prayer for us as adult children of divorce. I know the kind of needs that we've had, the kind of needs I've discussed in the last 30 episodes or so. And I'm going to craft that into a prayer. You can fill in the blanks however you like. You can just leave it blank and then refer to it as often as you like and plug things in as your needs and thoughts change. But I know a lot of my followers have said that they're seeking guidance in their prayers. And so I'm hoping that this model prayer will just start you off from a Bible-based place, a scripture-based prayer, and then you just make those words your own. You do whatever you need to do to connect with God. And the main thing is, I want to say, I think as we're overcoming our grief, that we walk through the five stages of grief with God. That would be denial and anger and bargaining and sadness and acceptance. And what I've learned about grief is it doesn't follow that linear pattern. It goes up and down and around, and you have to return to stages at times. And I think that's what happens in our journey as a children of divorce. We have triggers at different stages. We've talked about that before. And you have to start that process all over again. So being honest with all of your emotions in that process with God and just joining him in prayer like you would in a conversation with a friend. A lot like this kind of informal, imperfect conversation I've had with you today, with little glitches in it and stuff, but that's because God wants the real version of you. He wants not the polished, perfect version of you. He wants the real version of you, the full version of you, because that's the version that he wants to heal. That's the version that he wants to use to help others heal from their pain through your story, through your testimony. So let me close in prayer today. And don't forget to go over and get that free prayer printable that I'm going to provide for you today. Father God, I thank you for every person who is listening or watching today. And I know that many, many people are intimidated in their prayer lives, and I don't think that they understand that they can approach your throne boldly because Jesus has already done the work of saving us and opening that door. So I pray that you would help each person who is listening or watching today be bolder in their prayer lives, be more honest and open, be more wild even, and that as they make prayer a bigger part of their life, a more regular part of their life, Lord, I pray that you would foster a closer relationship between them and you, and they would just approach it as a conversation with a friend. They would not feel pressured. They would not feel anxious. They would not feel self-critical, but they would just pour themselves out before you, Lord. Give them the courage and the strength and the inspiration to do that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much for joining me today. I have another special episode prepared for you from a book that I'm reading through right now, and I will be happy to share that with you on the next episode. Until next time, I'm praying God's peace and blessings on you. Bye-bye.